1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
And now, it's Comb Over Boy, as performed by Phil Hendry.
Yeah, this is the Comb Over Boy show. This is a show hosted by a right-wing wacko, or it's like a Zelda. I am your host. Doesn't mean anything? All right. Yeah, this is the place where people get together and talk about the issues you really care about. Now, I want to talk a little bit about something that we usually wouldn't talk about on this program, but through the news, and it does happen to have to do with some of the things that we do talk about on this program, we do talk about sex. Now, you know, this show has never been afraid of talking about sex. We'll talk about sex. And we'll talk about sex anytime we want to. Now, I know you've been reading the newspaper about Gary Condon. Now, you know all the things that he's been involved in. Gary Condon, of course, the congressman from Modesto, apparently been involved with an intern from Washington, D.C. named Stan, who leaves his wife on up. It's really bad. Really bad. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm saying. Huh? You know what I'm saying? All right, you know what I'm saying, don't you? Really bad. This guy's getting involved with an intern. His wife finds out about it. I mean, what could be worse? And there have been a lot of revelations about this Congressman Condon. I just had kind of a funny thought. Does that remind you of condom? Condon? Condom? Huh? You know what I'm talking about. Condom? Condon? Get it? But anyway, what I want to talk about here is the fact that while a lot of people have come forward and said that they've had sex, and you know we talk about sex here on the Comb Over Boy show. They've had sex with Congressman Condon. I want to get serious for a minute because you would expect nothing less from me. You would expect total honesty from this program because this program is very young, skewing, very hip. We tell you how hip this program is to remind ourselves that we want to be hip. And hopefully we are hip. Are you hip? And I've never been anything less than honest with you. And that's why I'd like to be honest with you today. And I'm serious about this, and I'd like to get your feedback, especially you women. Never seem to hear from the women enough on this program about what I'm about to tell you because it is of a personal nature. By the way, this is a hip show. Here's how hip we are. Okay? So we've got all the bumper music. And we talk about sex, okay? Enough said. But I do want to tell you, because it's important to tell you, I have had sex with Gary Condon. And I talked with my producer earlier, and I talked with our program director about how I would come on the air and tell you about this, but I have had sex with Gary Condon. And you would expect nothing less than total honesty from this show. I had sex with Congressman Condon on one occasion and one occasion only. I thought he'd be gentle. I thought he was a very considerate lover. And the next day he sent me flowers. Now, I haven't gotten that from any woman I've slept with. I'll tell you that right now. Is that right, guys? You haven't gotten any flowers from any woman you slept with. But Gary Condon sent me flowers after he gave me a fairly thorough ass-pounding just about, let's say, 2 weeks ago. When's the last time that somebody sent you flowers and gave you a thorough ass-pounding 3 weeks ago? And that's why I'm talking about this right now. And I'll tell you something right now. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? The women suck, don't they? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Don't you prefer gay sex over straight sex? Sure you do. Of course you do. You prefer gay sex over straight sex because the guys are more considerate, aren't they? At least I found Gary Conner to be more considerate, right? So you guys like gay sex? You mean you don't? Oh, of course you do. Come on, let's light up the phones right now, okay? Isn't gay sex more preferable than straight sex, all you guys out there? Come on. And I want to tell you something right now. I've had it a number of different ways with women, and they never seem to respond to me. But funny thing happened. I had sex with Gary Condon. He loved it. Now, I don't know what that's about. I think it's because women just don't really like sex. That's been my experience. Well, I have sex with a woman. She doesn't seem to like it. I have sex with a guy. He's all over me like white on rice. He loves it. I'll tell you something right now. I love it, too. So we're going to get your comments right now on our phone right now. Let's go to the phone right now. Hey, how you're on the air?
Hey, come over. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Do you care?
Yeah. Every time you say that, man. Hold on, man. That's good. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Could you take me out with an ass pounding?
All right, here we go. Take you out with an ass pounding. Ow, 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 ouch.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Higher on the air.
Hello! Comb over boy!
Hello, whoever you are.
Yeah. Say, listen, comb over. You're talking about how much you like it from a guy?
Yeah, that's right. But from Congressman Condon...
What is that about? For crying out loud, man, I have my friends tune into your show now. You tell me you had sex with Gary Condon?
I recommend it.
You recommend it?
I certainly would.
All right, I'm going to try it. So much I love your show, man. Take me out with an ass pounding. All right.
Here we go. Ow, ooh, ow, ow, ooh, ah, ooh, ow, ooh, ow, ow, ow.
I need a little lubricant.
Ow, oh, ow, 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 ow. I'll be right back with more of your calls here on the Comb Over Boys show. I had sex with Gary Condon. What do you think about that? Give me your opinions on that, your impressions. Wouldn't sex with a guy be better than sex with a chick? We'll be right back here on the Comb Over Boy, as performed by Phil Henry on the much superior Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Business, we call them pukers in the radio business, and pukers are guys that don't talk like normal human beings. Nobody goes into a supermarket and says, yeah, how much for the cantaloupes? And yet we've had guys down through the years in this particular business, in the radio business, and maybe it has something to do with projecting. I don't know. I know that when I started, I kind of affected sort of a thing. Hi, Phil Hendry here, Central Florida weather. Because I was on a radio station in Florida, and I could listen to some early air checks. But here's an example of puking, okay? This guy is actually supposed to be saying the letters ICS. Listen to how he says this.
ICS.
That's the end of a commercial that we were playing. That's the end of a commercial that we were playing locally. And it's supposed to be ICS, but he says...
ICS.
ICS. How do you get that out of ICS? How does that... What... Where'd you go to school, man? I mean, what Columbia School of Broadcasting did you go to? Where ICS comes? ICS. It's a beautiful drop because you can use it just about anywhere. You can, for instance, look out the window and say
ICS,
or you could be walking down the street and look in the car and say
ICS.
You know, everywhere you're
ICS.
Everywhere you just look around and you see ass. But that's not what that's about. It's about ICS. And, you know, so no guy goes in, yeah, how much for a pack of Lucky Strikes? Not going to happen. So, you know, there was this guy I used to listen to when I was growing up. I mean, when I was growing up listening to radio, there were nothing but guys on the radio like, he doesn't talk like this. There was a guy on the air in L.A., and I think he was on in New York. His name was Bob Dayton. Bob Dayton here. It's a beautiful day of Bob Dayton showtime now. And 50 minutes after 4 o'clock, I'm on the thing. Now, one of the things that those guys are doing is they are cutting off the sound of their face. If you take any, I had to have speech therapy once, and the reason was because I developed vocal nodules. It's a very common thing. Singers get it, and I got it. And I think one of the reasons why I got it is because I had a very bad case of laryngitis one year, and I was going to football games screaming my guts loose. So I already had, like, these infected vocal cords, and I was further straining them. And the next thing you know, I had this chronic hoarseness, and I have to go to the doctor. And the guy's got to look with a scope and take a look at my vocal cords. He says, "Dude, you've got vocal nodules." I said, "Oh my God, does that mean surgery?" I didn't know what he meant. Do I have cancer? What is that? No, they're like calluses on your vocal cords, and you have to get rid of them. And the way you get rid of calluses is the same way you get rid of calluses on your hands. You have to use them properly, and they get, you know, you eliminate the irritation, and they go away. So you had to start using your voice right. So I went to speech therapy. And the guy told me, well, one of the things you got to do, Phil, is you got to talk through your face, okay? Now, guys like that, well, here's what they're doing. They're cutting off all the sound of the face. You see, you don't know whether I have my thumb and my finger on my nose or not, do you? See, if I talk like this, you don't know that I'm clipping. They're clipping off their, it's nasal. And they're talking from right here, the throat. And the sound apparatus is from the diaphragm all the way to the sinuses. You're supposed to be using the whole thing. As Dr. Neffler said to me, my speech therapist, use the entire apparatus, Phil. Use the entire apparatus. That's right. He'd stand there, a very nice man with a little kind of a retro 70s perm and a little funny poodle that would crap in his office. And there'd be dog crap everywhere. I'd walk in, and I'd say, "Hi, Doc, I'm here for my lesson." "Okay, Phil, use the entire apparatus." Now, as I'm stepping over piles of dog crap to get into his... Very nice guy. You know, like I said, a kind of a perm. And you ever see guys with perms? I saw a guy the other day, still had a 70s perm. It was a marvelous moment, and I got a picture of it, too. My wife said, "That's why you brought the camera to dinner." I said, "Yeah, because, you know, we're on vacation. I want to get pictures of important things. Forget about whether we're going down Duns River Falls, we're going to go out on a freaking catamaran. There's a guy with a perm. I'm getting that picture." So he'd say, "Use the entire apparatus," and then gradually I think I started using my voice the way that I want to use it, which is like I don't want to affect anything, okay? When I go home and I talk to my wife, this is basically how I sound talking to her. I don't go in the door and say, "Hey, baby, how you doing?" Or, you know, the other thing is I don't start out talking to her like this, and I come to work and go, "Hi, it's Phil Every Show." You know, it just tries to be constant. I try to be as constant as I can. And then there are the guys who, you know, as I was coming up in the business, they would try to lower their voice. "Yeah, it's 53 degrees here and wherever the hell we are, and we'll be right back in just a minute."
So anyway, Phil, I was telling you, we're in the middle of a record. A guy like this is trying to lower his voice down really low. "Hi, how you doing?"
And that's bad for you, too. If you've got a high voice and you try to lower it, you're going to destroy your vocal cords. So all of these things I learned, and it was a very marvelous thing. But I can tell you something right now. You will never hear me doing a commercial, and at the end of it, if it has nothing to do with ass, you're not going to hear me say,
"I see ass."
Because I'm just... Imagine the guy's just there. He's doing a spot, and it's... And remember, folks, you can get fresh green lettuce. Yes, fresh green lettuce at Vaughn's. "Hey, wait a minute. I see ass." Somebody walked by the window. Did you hear about this pastor who his daughter apparently had an affair with Gary Condit? Now, this is the latest of the Gary Condit situation, and naturally it's not going to affect our lives one way or the other. One of the things about these news stories is they are soap operas. It's got nothing to do with me. I mean, if the guy killed Chandra Levy and we found out that he had done it, I suppose in some way, somewhere down the road, it'll enrich my life. But right now, it's just, it's fun to watch. It's fun to, isn't it fun to luxuriate in the misery of other people? Come on! Isn't it? Isn't it fun to sort of sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else in the fray, in the game of life, sometimes winning, sometimes losing, but at least, you know, at least we're not involved in it, right? We're just sitting on our asses collecting splinters, right? Good. It's the way it ought to be. Let all those other people get in there and get their teeth kicked in, all right? We're going to sit here, collect a bunch of splinters, and sit on our ass. So now this pastor says, "My daughter had an affair with this Gary Condit. She also had an affair." And the press go to talk to her, and she's got a note hanging on the door saying, "No, I didn't." What kind of a home is that? What is the relationship between father and daughter? First of all, what is that about? "Hey, my daughter screwed him too." "Oh, okay, let's interview." "Yeah, see, it all started." What in the name of... And then the daughter, the poor thing, is barricading herself in the house with "No, I didn't." Now, at some point, none of this stuff helps the investigation. Am I right or am I wrong? At some point, it doesn't make any difference, man. How many women this guy screwed? It doesn't make any difference. It's just, it becomes a, well, obviously, it becomes all of those things that we've talked about so many times before. Just a lot of crap for the press, the digger. Just a lot of dog crap on Dr. Neffler's floor. I just want you gentlemen to know that my daughter also slept with Gary Condit, and so did my wife, and I have too, and he also, I think he's been at my dog, I don't know, but I've had him into the vet, and it doesn't look good. This guy Condit is making Clinton, forget him, making Hugh Hefner look. In any event, that was the latest, and what the guy is hoping to gain by saying that his die, I don't know. He's a pastor, and he owns a landscaping business. He's a minister who works for, I believe, and I may be wrong, but I believe any man that is also, that has two jobs, and one of them's a minister, I think you need to do a background check. See, I think a minister, that would be a full-time gig. That's your full-time job. You have a church, the people pay you through the donations, whatever the hell, the diocese, however you do it, boom. And you go home, and then you read the Bible, and you get boned up on what you got to get boned up on, if you'll pardon the expression, bone. Then you go back in, and you talk to the people. But you don't have, like, two or three gigs. Because that means somebody's got to listen to you while you're working. Suppose you're stocking the shelves at a liquor store. By the way, Jehoshaphat says in verse 6, oh, will you knock it off with that? Do it in the church. Eddie, the way you're putting those bottles of bubble up reminds me of when Jesus was preaching to the... Yeah, okay. But this cat is a landscaping cat, and that's, believe me, when I was in construction, I used to work in a construction business, and that meant that we would show up at the job at 6 a.m. and we would begin to finish cement, tie rebar, whatever crap job we had to do. And there was a running battle between those of us who would turn our radios on to a, like, rock station and some of these cats down south, the carpenters and like, who want to put it on a Christian station. And, yeah, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, construction game is a lot of beer-drinking guys, especially the guys that are roofers, guys that work around any wet tar, you know, liquid tar, when you're breathing that all day long. Very sick guys. Very sick. These guys are up there. They're roofing, you know, they're putting up this tar on the roof, and after about 3 hours, they're high on this crap, and they start dancing on the roof. This, I never forget this whole crew of roofers just dancing. I said, what the hell is this? I guess the tar got to them. Anyway, these guys would turn on their Christian radio stations. I'd say, Jesus, would you guys back it off? Jesus, you don't use the Lord's name in vain, okay? Ah, oh, God damn it, I hit my hand with a nail. That's the way it went. So this guy is a landscape architect of some kind, and he's a minister. Don't you find that a little suspicious? Don't you think a minister ought to just hold on one job, or am I being very anti-religious? By the way, it's not that I'm anti-religious. I believe I go to church with my wife, but those priests ain't got any other gig, as far as I know. Unless there's some magazines I ain't reading. Unless there's some pictures I haven't seen, and I don't know. What other jobs a priest got? Oh, well, some of them, like that Father Murphy. Didn't he? Wasn't he a cop? Who's the cop? There was a TV show. But in any event, it seems to me, the nuns got the same gig, although there ain't no nuns left, so I don't know. Would you ever see a priest leaving the rectory in the morning? Yes, it's called a rectory. You don't see them leaving the rectory in the morning. All of them, my non-Catholic friends, where do they live? In a rectory. All right. You know, what is it like in The Exorcist, there one priest was also part cop or something, wasn't he? Didn't he work with the D.C. Metro Police? Father Brown, yeah, we got another one. Pulls out his gun, goes up the thing, where's he? Shoots the kid in the bed. The kid is possessed by the demon, puts about 6 slugs into Linda Blair. All right, he's out. That's, why didn't they just kill the kid, is the question. Because I know then the demon would have come into them. So this is a real crazy deal. And, Mike, if we have to talk about this story much longer, I'm gonna start pitching up pea soup and guacamole, because this is going to be like projectile vomiting with this guy. Every time I see this cat in the news, and some of these guys, the women that they attract, that dude wears collars, those big 19th century high collars, and he's got the worst taste in clothes. He's got that whacked out looking hair. He looks a lot like me. Phil Henry's show here, 1-800-449-8686. One thing that I would like to remind you of course, is our number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD and picture disc, 877-616-7445 is the number to call to order that picture disc, or you can get the CD. And the money goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. You can pay by way of Visa, MasterCard, or check. And over $500,000 we've raised. And not that I want to blow my own horn or anything, but I think I will. Over $500,000 we've raised for the very fine people at my friend's place. That's over $500,000. That's really not a lot if you think about it, the time I spend talking about it. Anyway, give them a call.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
As you know, this week is Stay Off Drugs Week, and we wanted to do our part in the program to get the message out to as many young people as we can that drugs are really not the way to go. They're just not there. They are not a viable alternative. They're not going to open your eyes to anything. They're really not going to do anything other than retard your eventual growth into happiness. I mean, isn't that the goal? Now, having said that, I've got to tell you, I really do appreciate very much this next young man coming on our program. His name is Jeff Dowder. He lives in Temple City. And, Jeff, you're at your home right now?
Yes, I am.
And can you tell me something? Do you live alone?
I have part-time my parents' house now, but also I put down a deposit on a house that I'll probably be sharing with some members of a band that I'm trying to get into.
Okay, is that a cell phone you're on there? Does it have a cord attached to it?
No, sir.
Okay, so it could be a cordless phone?
It is cordless, yeah. I don't know if it's a cell or not. I could check if you want me.
No, that's fine. You're probably on a cordless phone. Get a little bit closer to the base. Jeff, how long have you smoked? You primarily describe yourself as an addictive smoker of marijuana. Is that correct? Are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Okay. You describe yourself primarily as an addictive smoker of marijuana. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, I don't know. You can hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're addicted to marijuana.
Yes, sir, I am.
Now we know that there is really no substantial proof that marijuana is physically addicting. So you're talking about a psychological addiction.
That's it. In my mind, I'm addicted, mostly in my mind. But I have tried to quit, but I'm just not. It's not going too good.
It's not going too good, trying to quit smoking pot.
Yeah, it's not really doing, you know, I try to quit smoking, but every time I try to quit, I feel more peaceful when I'm smoking it.
Well, what would you say negative happened to you smoking marijuana? Are you smoking dope right now?
I am. Partially, yes, sir, I am.
So you're always smoking this stuff?
I would not say it always, because obviously I sleep and, you know, I eat.
All right, besides sleeping and eating and doing all that, are you always smoking dope?
I pretty much do start every day with Prozac. I'll probably zap a Bipper in the morning and some Wacky Backy or whatever. I mean, like marijuana in the afternoon. So
you're smoking weed all the time?
I'm doing it a lot, yeah. And it's not helping me at all. Because
is there any way you could not smoke it while you're talking to me?
I could, but
no, on second thought, never mind. Just go ahead. Because I guess that's your life, isn't it?
It pretty much is, right. It pretty much is, on account of it does give me a more peaceful feeling, a peaceful, easy feeling, which is like, I guess a song about it or something.
All right, we're talking with Jeff Dowder, who's a marijuana smoker and has been smoking pots. How long have you been smoking dope? How long have you been smoking weed?
Probably about it since I was 10.
How old are you now?
I'm 28.
So how long has that been?
That's 18 years.
Yes, 18 years. You've been smoking pot since you were 10 years of age. How has it affected your life negatively? You say you're not motivated to do anything. You're not.
No, I don't really. I had a dream one time to be a musician, but on account I smoked pot, it robbed me of all of everything that I want to do. And that's the thing I say to all any of the young people that are listening to you now.
Oh, will you come on, man?
I'm sorry, but see, that's the state that I'm in, and that's the state that I'm in.
Okay, even when you're talking to me, you're knocking on that bong. So you're going to say to the young people...
I just say to young people, you don't do it, man. Don't do it.
Don't do what?
Don't smoke pot.
Because?
It's bad.
It's bad for you.
It is bad for you.
What did it do to you that's bad?
Probably everything.
Like what? I mean, you're still living at home.
Yeah, I'm still living at home. Like I say, the only good thing that marijuana has done for me is that I was able to use it for my musicianship.
So you're a musician?
Yeah.
Because you did tell me you're in a band. Are you a good musician?
Yeah, I would say that I am fairly proficient. I'm very interested in jazz. I was very much a fan of John Coltrane and many of the modalities that he do. Hold on for a minute. This thing went out. And...
I mean, it's ironic, man. I'm sitting here talking to you about how pot can ruin your life, and you're sitting there smoking it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I'm a drummer, okay? But I sold my sweet drum kit to buy the weed. It's a little hard to record with a drum pad, so...
Look at that, man. You smoke so much dope that you sell your drum kit to buy some pot, and now all you have is a drum pad.
But I can knock it out pretty good on a drum pad if you do...
Have you got your drum pad with you?
Yeah.
All right, so you're making the claim that marijuana has ruined you in every possible way except as a musician.
Except as a musician, that's right, because I do have fairly decent chops when it comes to some of the jazz modalities.
Can we hear?
Huh?
Can we hear?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to light that up, hold on.
Okay, you're going to play some drum licks for us?
Hold on.
Knock it off with the dope for just a few seconds, okay?
Okay. All right, what do you want to hear?
Just play some jazz crap on the drums, okay?
Well, I mean, I have a little more respect for it.
Well, just play some of the jazz stuff that you know.
All right. This is, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, this is a 5/4 beat. This is made popular by Dave Brubeck with his quartet, and the song is called Take Five. This is 5 beats per measure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. See? That's just so you know that it's...
Yeah, I get it. You counted out 5 beats.
That's right. 4 beats beat. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, that's 4 beats.
That's 4/4 time.
That's 4/4 time. 5/4 time is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then it...
I get it, man, because 5 is 5 and 4 is 4.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
You there?
I'm right here waiting to hear it, man.
All right, here we go. This is 5/4 time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, I zoned for a minute. Hold on.
Come on, man. You don't need to have a knock on that thing every time you blow it.
Well, it sounded like a horse hoof. I thought it's like a Western or something, like, you know.
Just play the drums, the jazz.
All right, you want the jazz?
Yes.
All right, hold on. I got to get it.
Yeah, don't forget that, man.
All right, here we go. Well, it goes like that. So, that's really...
So, that's jazz.
That's what my training was, yeah.
All right, I'm not knowledgeable about jazz, but... That sounded very unusual, and...
Yeah, well, jazz is a very unusual rhythm, and again, I've studied John Coltrane. I've studied John Coltrane, other people. But you think my marijuana situation is bad, but I used to huff.
You were huffing what?
I was huffing paint, and I still do, but I'm probably not as bad as it used to be.
So you're smoking weed, you're huffing paint.
No, I don't huff paint anymore. I've tried to wean myself off huffing paint. I was huffing Glade air freshener and also Bactine.
Huffing Bactine. You were huffing Bactine.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
Have you gotten off of that, man? Because that'll get... You talk about killing brain cells.
Yeah, I'm off that now. And now I've tried to stay away. I huffed like 7-Up bubbles and coffee aroma. One time I kicked the silver paint, and then I was doing lacquer once in a while.
Are you still doing lacquer?
I'm not doing any lacquer. Not since my mom decided she wanted to refinish her desk, so.
Not enough lacquer, huh?
Not currently, no, but that's the problem. What's happening with a lot of people are refurbishing houses.
They're buying up all the lacquer to put on the wood?
Yeah, so it's impossible to huff it.
Well, what are you huffing now, man? You said coffee?
I do, yeah. It's embarrassing. I'll go into Starbucks and just sit and just... Yeah, but... And also the trouble that I was in with the police.
Now, your mother spoke with us earlier. She said you'd had some problem with the police. Was this a breaking and entering?
No, sir. I was just at the back door because I had been huffing. Okay, I've been huffing bubble up, and I've been...
You were huffing bubble up?
Only the bubble part.
Yeah.
And tried distorted espresso beans. I grind them up and just do a line of, like, latte beans.
Uh-huh.
But that was, like, bad. And then the thing that I finally did is that because I couldn't huff no Glade, so I started to huff diapers.
So that, when you say huffing diapers.
Yeah.
You were getting into the laundry of the lady next door?
I was. Yes, sir, I was. Yes, sir, I was.
And you're huffing old, crap-filled diapers.
Yeah, and that's...
You see how far you can sink, folks? Do you see how far a man can sink? Wait.
They were scented, though.
Well, it doesn't make any difference if they're scented. If a kid crapped into them, that really...
Yeah, well, that's the point. But I would say, people say to me, how would you huff a diaper with some with baby load in it? And I'd say, well, but they're scented. And that's when they'd laugh.
Well, they're laughing because it doesn't make any difference if they're scented after a baby craps in it.
I also won.
Oh, this guy with a pot.
They're Ocean Breeze Huggies, which generally smell good.
Well, they ain't going to smell good after a kid's crapped into them.
That's the part that I found out. As I guess...
Well, if there's something you wanted to say to the kids out there, because we've been listening to you, Jeff, for the last 15 minutes talking about your dope problem and the fact that you're huffing diapers, what would you say to them?
I'd say it's a downward spiral, and if you look at me, I started with pot, and then I went on, I huffed Glade and all the other stuff. And
paint. And lacquer, until people started refinishing their houses.
Yeah, and there was a short supply of that, until finally now, I've reached the bottom. I got my nose stuck, and some kids do. There's no way, man, that could have happened to me. It's just...
It's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't you quit?
If I quit, man, and I can quit the pot. I can quit smoking the pot.
But?
There's no way I stay away from diapers.
Will you put the freaking pot down?
I'm sorry.
No way you can stay away from diapers.
That's psychologically addicting. That's like,
no, it's not a physical addiction.
Not so far as medical science, no.
All right, Jeff.
When the kid next door gets potty trained, it's going to be cold turkey.
There you have it, a kid who started out promising. You heard his drum playing. I don't know, it sounded bad, but smoking weed, huffing Glade, sniffing diapers to get his kicks.
But if the kid gets potty trained...
I know. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry.
Hundred.
888-449-8686. And now, Bill Landry.
Just exactly why do people buy Hummers? That's a question that has been sort of rotating in my mind since we saw one for rent near where I live, and my wife said, let's rent it. And I said, oh, okay. And then we went in. I don't know why, but I said, well, you mean for the weekend? She goes, yeah. I said, all right. And I took a look at the Hummer, and it seats exactly four people. Now, the thing is the size and shape of a Panzer personnel carrier. I mean, the thing is, as you've seen, probably you've seen these things on the road. They're very obnoxious, not particularly attractive cars. And you always have to ask the question, who is it that's driving that thing? Just what are we dealing with now? What did Freud tell us that we can draw upon to, you know, give us some idea about the guy that's driving that Humvee? Anyway, I went and I wanted to rent the thing, and I said, oh, well, it's, you know, you have to reserve it, sir. I said, oh, you don't have it for the weekend? No, 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 no. I said, who rents these things? Oh, you know, he says, we get a lot of weddings. I was kind of kooky, you know, where they people pull up in a Hummer. The bride gets out. It's very anti-limousine, and so I guess that makes some kind of a goofball statement, right? But the guy that actually buys a Hummer and drives it around, maybe as a commute vehicle, maybe just to go to the store, I don't understand that. I'm not saying that his, you know, I don't want to, you know, they say small penis, but I don't believe any of that. I don't believe a word of it. Generally, you guys that drive, you realize that that's what women say about you, don't you? Oh, you don't know that? Sure you know that. Of course you know that. My wife used to say when she'd see a particularly attractive car, she'd say, well, there goes that guy's penis. And then gradually I would investigate this attitude, and of course the attitude among, the prevailing attitude among 99% of all women is that the bigger the car a guy drives, the smaller his penis is. And that's why I bought Craig's Volkswagen. Now, anyway, because I don't want anybody saying that about me. Whether or not it's true isn't that anybody's business, but I'm driving that VW now. I was going to get me one of those big SUVs. I'm going to get one of those excursions. No, no, a Volkswagen. So, yeah, the Hummer is really a very impractical car. It is doesn't seat a lot of people. It's got an enormous drivetrain. It only has two seats up front. It really never has a car been manufactured before that says quite as much about the occupant as a Hummer, because it is not a family car. You cannot put the family in that thing. It's got a fair amount of storage space, but not anything significant, not anything more than, say, a Suburban. So it's really just some guy getting in it and wanting to, I don't know, like he's Erwin Rommel, like he's the Desert Rat. He's seen too many episodes of Combat or Rat Patrol or something. And so when I asked the guy, I said, well, how much? He said, well, we rent this for $230 a day. I said, how much does it sell for? He said, this one here, well, our low-end Hummer will go for about, at that time, and this was 3 years ago, it was going for about $80 or $90. The really sweet ones with the really sweet paint jobs, $112, $150, and $120 grand. So it's a toy like any other toy. It's a Rolls Royce. Remember the thing we said about a Rolls Royce? If you drive a Rolls Royce, isn't there a certain responsibility that you have when you drive a Rolls Royce not to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's? There's a certain responsibility that car, the Rolls Royce, is such a classy automobile that you've got to just go ahead and suppress those instincts that you want to be one of the homeboys. Just get the hell out of there, man. Just drive your Rolls off to a restaurant where everything's $100 an entree. Same thing with a Hummer. If you drive one of those things, you had better be physically endowed to the point where a woman's not going to be disappointed. She sees that car. She's got to expect something. Because your Hummer won't fit in the drive-thru at Jack in the Box. That's a promise. No, she won't expect anything. You're right, because I just said they're the ones that realize that, okay, never mind, drive your Hummer, pal. And you drive by, you see a few women with their hands over their mouths like they're choking back. Well, never mind. Okay, 1-800, because if I start saying choking back, you guys will jump into your Hummers, right? You're going to get excited. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, by the way, some guy got thrown off a Big Brother because he put a knife to someone's throat. Remember what I said about someone's going to die before one of these reality TV shows gets off the ground this year? I'm looking at Big Brother this year. This is my vote. Someone gets greased on Big Brother before they even roll the first episode. Now, that's my big prediction. Oh, they already did. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.